I can pull out a victory, as they would say. You know, you get you a backup quarterback, you don't ever know what to expect. So we'll see how this goes this morning. But if you have your word, or if you have your Bible with you, wherever you're at, hold it up and say, word with me, word. And we're going to go into the word of God this morning. We're being Judges. We're going to start in chapter 6. I got home last night and got the word that Brother Bill wasn't feeling very well and didn't know if he's going to make it. So, Brother Miss Julie, we were here practicing a little music and said, everybody's got a message in their back pocket. And I was like, man, I don't know if I got one in my front, my back. I don't know, but we're gonna you know, be looking for something. But anyway, so I got home and Bill sent me a message saying, I'm not feeling well, and I'm like, I'm already looking at something. And so I started looking, and every time I kept looking at something else, God kept pointing me back to this area. And so we're going to be looking at the Battle of Gideon this morning, and you know, the uncertainty that Gideon has in this scripture at the beginning. And so, but we'll see that always in scripture where God, you know, guides and leads us, that he always gets the victory at the end. And so I want us to be looking at that, because God gets the victory. God is the victory. And so we're going to be in Judges chapter 6, start at chapter 6, verse 36 first. And so we'll start there, and we'll go through the scripture. I like to visualize stuff. I'm a very visual person. So when I read scripture, like I said before, I visualize what's going on there. And so I want you to visualize what's going on in this scripture, because it'll make you appreciate even more. And it says in verse 36, it says, then Gideon said to God, if you are truly going to use me to rescue Israel, as you promised, prove it to me in this way. I will put a wool fleece on the threshold floor tonight. If their fleece is wet with dew in the morning, but the ground is dry, then I will know that you are going to help me rescue Israel as you promised. And that is just what happened. When Gideon got up early that next morning, he squeezed the fleece and wrung out a whole bowl of water. Then Gideon said to God, please don't be angry with me, but let me make one more request. Let me use the fleece for one more test. This time, let the fleece remain dry while ground around it is wet with dew. So that night, God did as Gideon asked. The fleece was dry in the morning, but the ground was covered with dew. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just ask for you to speak to us right now, Father. Father, I just ask for you to open up our hearts, our minds. Father, just for what you're asking for us and speaking to us too this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Everyone said, amen. So right here, uncertainty is the key. At first, a lot of us is uncertain in our life. My wife is, I'm going to put her on the spot because she's the world's worst about, I wish he'd ride it in the clouds. You know, I wish he'd just send something down, send a letter, or, you know, and I think sometimes in our life, we are the same way. Something happens and we don't know how to answer it. We don't know what to do. And we're just like, I wish God would do this. And he has. And so much in that time, Gideon them didn't have the word of God to go by, but we have the word of God. We have the whole word. It's written. You know, last week we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which fulfilled the scripture, which, you know, if we can believe in the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you know, we have to believe in the whole entirety of this scripture. And so if we do that, then God has written. He's got it for us to go back and read and study to understand that what his promises are to us. But Gideon didn't have this. You know, I think, but I relate to Gideon so much in this, is the uncertainty of in my life. You know, I can remember when I first got in the electrical trade, that's what I started when I got out of high school, went in the electrical trade. I worked for a pretty large contractor. And so as time went, I started I got my license, and then, you know, I'm working with another superintendent on a pretty good sized project, and he's leaving. And like, I'm going to take him and put him on another project, and I'm going to let you finish this project. And I'm young, and I'm like, you know, the uncertainty rises up in you, like, man, can I handle this, you know? And, I don't know if my boss really had the confidence in me that I could do it, or if he thought, well, he'll sink or swim type of situation. And so I did it, and I finished the project. But, you know, as time goes, you know, it's a building process everything in your life, it's a building process. And God right here, you know, was building Gideon's faith. I really believe this. You know, Gideon was sitting there uncertain to what he was going to do, but God had already promised him, I'm going to use you to lead Israel out of. And I think about that. You know, what if it was you? You know, God tells you something. You know, as children of God, when we get saved, I really believe that God puts a passion in our heart for something, some kind of ministry. It could be anything from helping the homeless to, helping the needy. But we know that God has called us to take care of the orphans and the children. And so God, you know, lays stuff on our hearts, and over time we get uncertainty. You know, we get away from God's calling. You know, this is where Gideon was. Gideon didn't think he was adequate. And sometimes we don't think we're adequate. I know in my life I felt that way with the things that I've done in my life, that I'm not adequate to speak about the Word of God. You know, but God has called all of us to tell someone. You know, our story helps somebody else. And so I really believe that this is where Gideon was. That's why I relate to him so well. But in verse chapter 7, when we go into chapter 7 right here, you know, God is providing. Even Gideon has, God has, he has told God what to do, and God has proven to him. And so Gideon says, well, if you've done this, then you know what? I'm gonna do what you said. But I really believe that in that first scripture that he was kind of putting God in a box too. You know, like he was, you know, knowing that God could do anything. What's making a fleece wet, or making the ground dry and the fleece being wet? So here he goes. Gideon is doing what God calls him to do. And in this scripture, we're fixing to go into the battle. And so verse 1, it says right here, it says, so Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and his army got up early and went as far as the spring of Herod. The armies of Midian were camped north of them in the valley near the hill of Moreh. The Lord said to Gideon, you have too many warriors with you. If I let you fight the Midianites, the Israelites will boast to me that they saved themselves by their own strength. Therefore, tell the people, whoever is timid and afraid may leave this mountain and go home. So 22,000 of them went home, leaving only 10,000 who were willing to fight. This is what's amazing to me. You know, it reminds me of, any of y'all ever went cruising? Ever? In the old days, when I was in school, we cruised. We had this little circle that we'd get in our vehicles, and we'd just drive in circles, right? We'd drive in circle, drive with that. We call that social distancing today. And so we would just drive, and we would hang our heads out the window, and we'd holler, we'd whistle at the girls, or you know what we'd, you know. But there was times when, you know, you may be hollering at a girl, and some dude in front of them That might be his girl or something. But it was always something. And this one night I can remember we're driving in the circle and we're in our trucks. And, you know, the guys are always like peeling out, burning rubber, whatever. But this night we were cruising and I had two buddies in my truck with me. And there was another truck that had two buddies in their truck. So it's three guys and we had three guys. And we're like, when we make this next circle, they mouth off again. We're getting out of this truck. Now I'm driving. I'm like, we're getting out of this truck. And so they're like, yeah, we're getting out of this truck. So we're rolling around. We come by and these guys come by and they holler. They're about four vehicles in front of us. I throw it in park. I get out of my truck. Three on three, right? Get out of my truck. When I get up there to them, I turn around. It's three on one. So my buddies bailed out on me. And I can see this in this scripture. I know that y'all think that might be funny, but I can feel like where Gideon is at this point in time. You know, Gideon's going into the battle with 32,000 people. They already have an army of people. You know, that's how I felt. I was like, this is equal. This is even. We're fixing to roll this thing. You turn around and there's one on three. You almost have to suck up your pride or take a butt whooping. And so I sucked up my pride, got in my truck, and I took them boys home. Right here, this is where Gideon is in his life. He's sitting here and he's like, you know, we have lost 22,000 men. What am I going to do? You know, they've got thousands of men. What are they going to do? You know, I believe this in our life, that God has to keep weeding out the things in our life. We always are putting things in front of God. And as long as we can handle it on our own, we're going to continue to take the wheel and do it. But right here, God starts weeding and he has to build Gideon's faith to completely rely on what God wants to do in his life. And so right here, he said, I'm not done yet. He said, I'm not done. I'm sure Gideon said, well, I've still got 10,000. You know, 10,000 men, he starts strategizing. We're going to go into this mountain. I can put these guys here and here, and we can still have a chance for this victory. You know, still feeling comfortable about having 10,000 men. But then the Lord told Gideon, there's still too many. Bring them down to the spring, and I will test them to determine who will go with you and who will not. When Gideon took these warriors down to the water, the Lord told him, divide the men into two groups. The one group put them, those who cup water with their hands and lap it up with their tongues like a dog. In the other group, put all those who kneel down and drink with their mouths in the stream. Only 300 of the men drank from their hands, and the others got down on their knees and drank with their mouths in the stream. The Lord told Gideon, with these 300 men, I will rescue you and give you victory over the Midianites. Send all of the others home. So Gideon collected the provisions and the ram's horns and the other warriors and sent them home. But he kept the 300 men with him. Could you imagine right now that you're sitting there, and that's what I imagine them guys, he's going down to the river and he's thinking, okay, Lord's going to eliminate some of these. He's going to leave me at least 5,000. So, okay, he's strategizing again. He's thinking, he's going to leave me 5,000. Okay, this is what we're going to do. So could you imagine as they started, and he tells him what to do? You know, the ones that cup it or the ones that kneel all the way down, and he's looking around. He's going, oh my gosh. You know, could you imagine being him? I'd be like, hey, cup it. Don't kneel down. Don't kneel down. But they did. And God says, send them home. He left him with 300. See, God's trying to build our faith. You know, in my life, I really believe there's been so many scenarios that God has tried to build my faith in this different aspect of my life. You know, it could be simplest things. And I try to tell the teens, and, you know, we've been doing this Jesus Freak study, and we have talked to, you know, about prayer, but God tries to build our faith to build us up to enjoy what He has for us. See, we have Scripture, and most of us think that it was done like the Scripture's done. Well, God's still in the miracle working business. God is still taking care of us. He is still making provisions for us. And for us to enjoy and know what God is full and capable of, He's got to build our faith step by step by step. And it can take the simplest things that God tries to build your step by. But, you know, it's probably been about 10 or 12 years ago when I had surrendered to the youth ministry. And, you know, being bivocational and you work in a church and you work full time, it doesn't matter. You still get your week's vacation. And so wherever I was working, well, I was working at that same electrical contractor, and you get a week's vacation every year. I would schedule my week's vacation for church camp every year. And so we would go to church camp. But this particular year, Crossgate, another church in Hot Springs, we had teamed up, and the lady that was over to the youth ministry at their church, we were really good friends, Miss Sonia. And so we were really good friends, and they decided that they were going to do a missions trip. Well, their missions trip was, it was like an Extreme Makeover Church Edition. If y'all ever watched Extreme Makeover House Edition, this was Extreme Makeover Church Edition. And there was a little shotgun church in Malvern, Arkansas. And we had went there, we had started planning and, you know, putting stuff together to go there. It was the week right after church camp, and I was thinking, how am I going to do this? You know, I got a family. I got to have this much money. I got to have $700 a week to make it, you know, and it's just, that's just what it was. And so, but, you know, God had prepared me over steps, you know, and He's, you know, I was like, I'm taking off. My boss was very kind and good that he would let me take off for church whenever I needed. He was just one of them guys. And so I had took off, and I scheduled to take off that week, but I wasn't getting paid. It wasn't a scheduled vacation, but I was like, you know, God will take care of me. Not knowing really, you know, you're like, in our minds, we kept saying, how are we going to do it? You know, what are we going to do? And we just, you know, left it at that. Well, we went through the week, and we got to see God do amazing things that week, guys. I mean, it was something that, you know, we did a totally rip out the church. We painted it. We put all, you know, I'm an electrician. The city come in that week and said, you got to rewire the whole church. This was on a Tuesday. You know, we got to be done on Friday. And I'm like, I can't rewire this whole church. And I call my boss up, and he's like, sends me extra six guys. We rewire the whole building, you know. And one thing led to another. You know, it was like when you needed something, it was just like God provided it. Like someone brought it. You know, we need this, and God provided it. And so we got to see God do, you know, amazing things that week that built my faith. And so it was a Thursday afternoon, and we're trying to wrap up on Friday, and my wife goes home. Because we were staying at the church taking baths and everything. And so my wife goes home and gets the mail, and she calls me. She goes, you're not going to believe this. She goes, I opened up the mail, and in the mail there was a check. We overpaid our house payment, insurance, something. What I can't remember back then. But the check was for $700. So I say that to say that, you know, God's building your faith so you can enjoy the victory side of things. God wants to weed out everything so you can enjoy what God has for you in your life. In the last scripture, Judges, I didn't put this up here, but in Judges chapter 7, verse 17, it says, "Then he said to them, keep your eyes on me. When I come on to the edge of the camp, do just as I do. As soon as I and those with me blow your ram's horns, blow your horns to all around the entire camp and shout for the Lord and for Gideon." It was just after midnight. After the changing of the guard, when Gideon and the 100 men with him reached the edge of the midnight camp. Suddenly they blew their ram's horns and broke the clay jars. Then all three groups blew their horns and broke all the clay jars they held and blazing torches in their left hands and the horns in their right hands. They all shouted a sword for the Lord and for Gideon. Guys, God gets the victory in the end. They won that battle with 300 men. This is the thing. God wants to win the battle with you today. He's battling for you on your behalf every day. He's right there with you. And all you have to do is simply just build your faith and listen to what He has to say. God's got something amazing for every one of us. He's called every one of us for a purpose. For just as a time as this, He's called you for a purpose. What is your purpose? What is your plan? What are you doing for God today? God is right here with you. And so it may take time. I mean, don't be like Gideon at first. Gideon's uncertain about, what God has called him to. Just be willing to step out and do the little things. God is trying to build your faith today. And so all I can say is to you today you can read this scripture. God gives you the victory. God is the victor, Victoria. As the time as we are in right now, no matter who's president, no matter who's in charge, no matter what's going on, no matter what the media tells you, God gets the victory in the end of this. He is the conqueror. He is the winner. And so as long as you're a child of His and you follow what God has called you to, you will be victorious today. So don't feel like you got to have some kind of sign or wonder. God has got it right here in Scripture for every one of us. He's made promises and He's never, ever not kept a promise. So guys, as we go on the rest of the week, just remember that you're going to be faced with things. And so the little things that you do build your faith so you can really experience what God has for you in your life. So y'all remember that this week as you go through the week. Continue to pray for Bill and reach out your hand to someone that is in need. There's lots of people right now that is in need. And so this is no greater time than to be the church. Don't question how or where it's going to come from, because I know that God has got us taken care of. He's going to provide for us. And so remember that this week, that God is wanting to take care of you. So let's just close in prayer. And when we close in prayer, just remember, like I said, if you need something, just contact the church. You got our numbers and stuff. So we love y'all. So dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you. Father, I just ask for you to continue to be with us. Dear Lord, I ask for you to continue to be with Bill. More than anything, Father, I just ask for you to continue to allow us to be the church, dear Lord, that we continue to rely on you, Father, that we do what you ask us to do in our lives. Dear Lord, just thank you, and I praise you for everything that you do provide for us. I thank you for being my Father. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, I just ask you and thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said,